Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled LAFAYETTE 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, shalom, saints. Greetings to you all. Bless you this evening. Just like to thank the Most High Yah for the opportunity to come before you again tonight. Just like to ask you all to remember to keep the saints just down in Florida in your prayers as they are going through that storm down there. And don't forget Elder Felix. Keep him lifted up and his family as he's battling. If you all would, please give me a sound check. I see Brother Ugly got an 11 for me. Let me greet you all again. Bless you all. Thank you all for being here tonight on Straightway Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Deacon Bell. I'd like to give honor to the man of y'all, Pastor Dolph, for the opportunity to be here again as well. Hallelujah. Thank you all for the tens. Praise y'all. I don't know if y'all saw the title of the show tonight. It's called, the title of the show is going to be The Word of Yah in Our Hearts. We're going to go to Psalms 127, verse 1. Hallelujah. And it reads, a song of decrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And reading that, saints, what kind of house is the Most High building in us? Is he able to build a house in you? Or are you building a house for him in you as well? You know, what kind of tabernacle is he going to be able to dwell in you? But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight all the way. But if you would, go to Psalms 119. 119, 105. Hallelujah. Yeah, Psalms 119, 105, Brother Ugly. This is the Psalm of None that reads, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's also go to Psalms 119, 165. Let me get there. Many of you should know this psalm. You should know all the ones I just used. And it reads, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And nothing shall offend them. How many of us have found ourselves getting offended lately? I wonder how many people have gotten offended at the word that was preached yesterday when the Most High showed us the mirror again. You know, uncovering the heart. But the mirror is a good thing. When you behold it, you get to see what's in you and how you look before the Most High. And the reason why he does it, because he loves us. He wants to know. He knows what's in us. He wants us to know what's in us and how we look before him. So I got a question. Is the law done away in you? And I'm gonna read. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. We'll read verse 12 before I get off on what I really want to get into here. No, but is the law done away in you? Go there. You know, you go to these pork chop preachers and being a bacon Christian or a bacon Israelite, you know, you don't want to, you know, the law's not, the law don't pertain to you. But Paul said this, you know, of course, y'all go back and read these scriptures in context, please. You know, Paul said, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. And I'm going to come back and read some more of that later on. But I want to talk about one thing here before I go on. Now, the reason why I got this blog talk, because I talked, had a conversation with some brothers a few weeks ago. We were talking about compulsive confession of sin. So I was trying to help them understand that to the best of the knowledge that I had of it. And, you know, and when you feel compelled to confess your sins to people, you know, that puts you in a bad spot, because most of the time, most of us, it's not like when you're going to deliverance, you got to talk to people, you know, you're talking to the ones who are doing deliverance with you and they're trying to help you with discerning what you got going on when you're telling them what sins you may have done if you had to go there in a deliverance session. But let's just say you're just talking with saints and you're just telling them your sins just to make yourself feel better, because that's really the spirit behind that compels you to do that, to get relief from the condemnation, the guilt and the shame that you're feeling from your sins. And so you need to be careful who you confess your sins to, brothers and sisters. You're supposed to confess your sins to Yah. But if you sin against your brother, then you go to him and him alone. And so in your conversations, you can confess your sins to people. I would advise you not to. Because if you confess to somebody that's weak, then next thing you know, they're going to be like Saul, giving you the evil eye. And then they're going to have that spirit's ministering to them about how you are or what you are. You know, you won't be able to be around them and be free. Actually, they're all jacked up now because they're giving place to the devil. And but anyway, so we're talking about that, and I gave him an example of a couple of scenarios trying to help him understand that. And I used one example, like if I told a brother if I stole something from him, if I committed adultery with your wife, or you know, using that example, and the brother's like, man, wow, you know, they felt their heart rise up when you use that example, because that's something really that reaches deep into you, because you're being violated. And I said, man, and it made me think, wow, all these times people tell you that the law is done away with, then when you get a scenario or something like that, something that's done to you personally, you know, because when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four teach us how to serve Yah, or love Yah, and the rest of them teach us how to love our fellow man. And nobody likes being, Yah don't like being violated, and man don't like being violated. And so when you did that scenario, how the brothers felt, you know, just the thought of the violation was just like, you know, it was shocking to them. And it just made me think, you know, we need to, about how the law is really within us. Even a heathen person that's married, or if they get something stolen from them, even they feel violated. So the thing is, you know, how much of the law is in us when we hear things like that, or different scenarios of something that may come up, you know, in our lives. Or, you know, how does the word, not even just the law, but even the word itself, does it come back to us, you know? But let's go over here to, let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Let's talk about the commandments. I want to go there for a minute. Let me get here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. And it reads, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, you think about that. How many of us want adultery committed against us? You know, if you're married, you don't want your spouse playing the harlot. It's like y'all don't want us playing the harlot with other mighty ones when we look up in the other commandments. How about bearing false witness? Don't it hurt when somebody lie on you? You look at all these false witnesses on YouTube. Not, you know, lying on straightway, lying on the saints, you know, or looking at situations where you may have been, someone's falsely accused you and done these things against you. I mean, you know, you can't stop people from doing it, you know, but Pastor S taught us how to pray. You know, remember that example when he showed us in the scriptures yesterday, even more firepower. Of course, Old Faithful, Psalm 109. How about when, let's see, okay, let's go to, like Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. Of course, that means murder. You know, how you know, wouldn't that hurt if somebody murdered someone you loved? Of course, you know, we got people murdering through slander, through gossip, through backbiting, you know, murdering with their tongue. These bad board, keyboard ninjas today. But, you know, you can look at the law, you know, just you know, how much is your being really affected when you know, when you hear certain things? I'll tell you what, let me go here for a minute into an example of something here. A few things that came to my mind. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Remember the scripture, it says, one sinner destroys much good. Over in Joshua here, we got the, we'll just read it. I'm going to start off with verse 1, Brother Ugly, for the scriptures you're posting. We'll read down to, might read the whole chapter. We might skip around some too. All right, we're going to read verse 1 though. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. But Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of, oh boy, pronouncing these names, Zabai, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. And of course, we know that Joshua sent men to go attack the city. And they returned, I'm going to skip down to verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all people go up. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim. And smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yahweh unto the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Yahweh. Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Let's skip down a little bit. And then Most High speaks to Joshua. He says, this is verse 10. And Yahweh said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? You know, Most High tells him, this is why this has happened. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken up the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, that's why the children of Israel couldn't stand before the enemies. All right, let's scoot down some more here. Let's go down to Okay. I'm going to go to verse 19. And Joshua spake unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. You know, he had to have him, he wanted Achan to confess what he'd done. In this context, it was a good situation to confess. Give him glory to Yah. And he told him, when I saw among the spoils, a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now, you see what he did there, right? So he coveted. The law told him not to covet. Also, he had the command earlier not to take of any of the spoils. But, you know, he had to do his own thing, you know, and he brought trouble to Israel. He didn't consider the rest of the tribe or the rest of the nation. He just wanted to get his. And then we'll scoot down here. We'll scroll down. We'll go down a little bit. We'll go down to verse 25. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Yahweh shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. You see the culture of our people, how they dealt with sin, right? Stoning. And the judgment on him was burning them with fire. And they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. So Yahweh turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, why didn't the word come back to Achan at that time when he was covenant? How come he didn't remember the law of the Most High? You know, how many times have we been in a situation where we've covenant things, saints, and the word didn't come back to us either? And we went on our merry way and sinned and took things we shouldn't take. You ever look at your own possessions, saints, to see how many things you have that don't belong to you lawfully? Might want to consider that. Might want to. A lot of times we're doing clean our houses for purges for deliverance. We want to cast out the unclean things. We might want to go back through and look and see what we've stolen. Just a thought to put in your mind, saints. You know, because y'all ain't happy with that either. Speaking of the accursed thing, it reminds me of a situation. I met a man that I knew at Walmart, a customer. His name was, I called him Mr. JC. He's an older gentleman. He told me this story about this picture that a person he knew had. It was, I'm not sure what was on. I can't remember all the details of the story now. It just popped in my mind. But this picture was a cursed object. Somebody he knew had it that was making him sick. And he told the person, well, maybe I guess they talked to him about it, from what I remember of our conversation. This is like 15 years ago, say, so forgive me if I'm kind of buggering it up a little bit. But the person talked to him about it, and he told him to get rid of it, if I'm not mistaken. And so they ended up, because they bought it from someone. I think it was a woman. And they ended up selling it to somebody else. And I guess, you know, they knew the thing was a cursed object making them sick, but they, you know, got it out of their house and gave, you know, and sold it to someone else, you know, made a profit off of it, I guess. And the man told me, he said, you know, he told me about this story. So he asked him who they sold it to, and he tracked that picture down, and he bought it from the person they sold it, that lady had sold it to. And he took it. And he was trying to burn it. I think he had to put like gas in on it a couple of times finally to get it to burn when it finally burned. But you know, just a little story on the cursed thing. Some of these, you know, as far as having cursed objects in our homes, like dream catchers, statues of Buddha, whatever. If you shouldn't have these things, but even if you're a pagan, you shouldn't have these things if you happen to tune in. But any cursed objects, especially crosses, you know, some of us might not want to totally let go of our Christianity. You know, I know you're coming out. A lot of saints are coming out, but come all the way out. Put down them crosses too, them Stars of David, like we heard about yesterday. But anyway, let's go to First Samuel chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. I'm going to show you how David had the law on his heart and how it came back to his remembrance. Well, just the word of Yah. First Samuel chapter 24. Let me get there. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep copse by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Of course, y'all know what that cover his feet is, saints. He's using the bathroom. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day which Yahweh said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemeth good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. David's heart smote him because he cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto the men, Yahweh forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Most High's anointed, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of Yahweh. Now, you know, David had the fear of Most High in his heart as well. Not only that law, that word that said, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm, which you'll find that over in 1 Chronicles 16:22 and Psalms 105:15. You know, it smote him when he would even cut off Saul's skirt, and he couldn't bring himself to kill him. And I don't think it was because he feared Saul, nothing like that. He feared the Most High, and he loved the Most High, and he wasn't going to sin against him. He wasn't going to dishonor Saul as the Most High's anointed. I don't know if y'all remember. I don't know where it is at the moment, but remember when David was fleeing from Absalom, and that man, I think it was Shimei, came out there and cursed him. Now, he had no fear of Yah, you know, blasting David when he was fleeing. I think he's called him a bloody man. But in the end, we know what happened to him. But how about this? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. Again, more of the law coming back to our remembrance when we see things or hear things or exposed to certain things, you know, or come across things. You heard the heart of pastor yesterday when he's talk about being out there amongst the heathen. If you recall, that pertains to this scripture here. Hold on. Let me get there. Leviticus 18:22, Brother Ugly. Now, in the law it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. But going back to 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. You know, Pastor talking about the abominations he saw. Faggots and these effeminate men everywhere. And I tell you, I remember growing up, you didn't see a faggot. They were nowhere around. They were in the closet. But now they don't kick the doors down and burn the closet too. They out and they like pastors as so diligently puts into our conscience. These people these faggots are just militant too. So you know they're gonna be bold and arrogant and doing everything they want to do, everything they bad enough to try to do anyway. But But in that abomination, when you see them, don't it make your stomach curl when you see a faggot and a lesbian walking by you or coming close by you or anything? And they should be ashamed, but they're not. They're just boldly wicked in that. But, you know, speaking in that realm, you know, it was amazing how in this wicked country, this wicked Western culture, it's okay to be a faggot or a lesbian, booty lover, but it's an abomination to them for a man to have more than one wife or a concubine, or for a man to have 15 wives, 20 wives, or two. That's an abomination, but a man having two boyfriends and a woman having her wife, husband, wife, whatever they call themselves, this wickedness is disgusting, abominable. But Jesus did say it was going to be like in the days of Noah before he came back, and we're definitely seeing it. But hallelujah, that just tells us that the King is coming. So we can rejoice in that. Hallelujah. So every time I see them, I try to remind myself of that. But if I had a sword and we're in our land, I'd run them through. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17. Let me get there. Hope everybody's doing all right tonight. Got some rest Sabbath. All right, Proverbs 24:17. It says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." We keep reading, lest Yahweh see it and it displease him, and it turn away his wrath from him. Now, how many of us have messed up the judgment of Yahweh on our enemies when we've gotten too happy when they did fall. Had our party, brought out the beer and the wine, the fatted calf, doing everything we weren't supposed to do because the word just didn't come back and check us. It reminds us, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. The Most High is not pleased with your action here. So we got to make sure we get the law in our hearts, saints, the word in our hearts. We love y'all. Hide this word in your heart so that you won't sin against it. We don't want to offend them either. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 6. And it reads, "These six things doth Yahweh hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Now, saints, whenever we in any of these states, do we remember that Yah hates that? You know, when you walk around so proud, you flapping that lying tongue of yours. I mean, hopefully nobody killing nobody, shed innocent blood. Well, you imagining evil, but how you gonna get your brother and sister? You know, feet running swift and mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and man, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Have we seen that happen? Some of these falling away we've seen taking place. People want to do their own thing. But hallelujah. Y'all's good. As long as we don't, let's not fall into the same snare, saints. Let's keep the word before us. If somebody want to come to you trying to sow discord, tell them, hey, tell them to get out your face. Tell them to stop talking to you. Walk away from them. Shame the devil in them. Oh, hallelujah. Because, of course, you know, when we operate like that, we're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit at all. That's what should come back to you. The fruit of the Spirit should start ministering to your mind before you even go down that road. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is a scripture Pastor quoted yesterday. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I can get there. Of course, most of y'all should be familiar with this one as well. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, when we read that, how many times have you been in a wicked way, and when that scripture came to you, it caused you to want to go seek Yah? Hopefully something will cause you, when you're in a bad way, to drop to your knees and cry out to Yah to get you to turn and repent. You don't want to be so stout-hearted, so hardened in the deceitfulness of sin that we won't humble ourselves and pray. Because every time you get on your knees and pray for the Most High Yah, we should be in a humble state. Tell you what, saints, we're going to take a quick break here. Ministry break. And I will be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr., and Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T 370-83. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, shalom, shalom. All right, saints, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 20. Look, saints, all I'm trying to do tonight, saints, is just trying to stir up the pure minds by way of remembrance. Like Peter said, I think that's over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. But how much of the law do we have in us? How much of the word do we have in our hearts? Does it come back and minister to you at any given time? that the Holy Spirit able to bring it back to your remembrance, to check you, to correct you, to admonish you, to lift you up too, and encourage you with the word. Don't forget, great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend. Hallelujah. I don't care what the situation is. We love y'all. We won't get offended. All right. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 through 20, talking about King Josiah. Now, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in the ways of David, his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of Yahweh, saying, go up to Hilkiah the priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of Yahweh, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Let me skip down a little bit here. Plus, they were repairing the tabernacle, the temple. Skip down to verse 8 here. And Hilkiah the priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Yahweh. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe said to the king, Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, thy servants have gathered money that was found in the house, and have delivered unto the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of Yahweh. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Of course, the king knows this is the book of the law. And the king heard the words of the book of the law And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micanah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of Yahweh for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. Now, going back to verse 11, you know, when the king heard those words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. There must have been something in there that the word can have an effect on him, huh? Now, if he was void of that word, it wouldn't have been nothing to touch him. Not since he had a heart, he walked after the ways of David, he had a heart after Yah too. Go down, okay. And so Hilkiah the priest, and Achbor, Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Ashiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shelah, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college when they communed with her. So they went, and she said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Why? Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. That's a bad situation, ain't it, saints? But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of Yahweh, thus shall you say to him, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was hollow as a rock, and adamant, and thou lifted yourself up before me. No, it says, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before Yahweh, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith Yahweh. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And I shall not see all the evil which I bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, if I was the king, I'd like to hear that word. Because of the condition of his heart. You know, he wasn't going to see that evil. He's going to be gathered to his fathers in peace. Go to the grave in peace. But how many people didn't get to go to the grave in peace? The question we need to ask. You know, they hear the word. They don't want to conform to the Most High Yah's will. We'll just say it like that. And of course, when you don't, like Pastor said, when your day of visitation come, your day of evil come, when he visits you, your evil way upon you, you don't have no one to blame but yourself. You had the way of escape, but you didn't take it. But so let's keep a tender heart towards the Most High, y'all saints. Let allow his word to have an effect on us. Allow his word to enter us. Let's receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. And one thing we need to think about is what state of mind are we in when we're reading and hearing the word? You know, can it cause us to repent? Can it cause us to be broken? All right. Hallelujah. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. Let me get there. Okay, there we go. Numbers chapter 12. We'll start at verse 1, Brother Ugly, but I'm going to probably jump around. I'm not going to read all that. But it starts off with this. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. I just talked about polygyny a minute ago. I didn't realize I forgot that was in here. And they said, hath Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And Yahweh heard it. And if you look at Miriam, now she's an out of order woman, and Aaron ain't doing too good either. He shouldn't have been joining in with that conversation. Let me read. Okay, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of Yahweh was kindled. Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed. Most High was mad. He's upset. And the word even tells us he's slow to wrath, too. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And. Okay, the phone was ringing in here. And he said, and Aaron said to Moses, alas, my master, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let him not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto Yahweh and said, Hear her now, O Yahweh, I beseech thee. And Yahweh said unto her, this is what I want to get to in all these verses. I didn't really mean to read all of them, but got caught up. And Yahweh said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. After that, let her be received in again. But you see how out of order she was there in that situation. And most I say, if her father would have had but spit in her face, what if he had reproved her, reproached her, gotten her butt? She wouldn't have spoke against Moses like that. She would have had some fear and respect of men in a good way. Leadership, headship. But she got that American woman spirit on, and she got judged for it. Like Pastor points out, we have no record that says she got turned back to her original color either. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. As we hear this word, saints, let's awake to righteousness. Let the word have effect in us. Colossians chapter 2. Let me get there. Again, this is another scripture Pastor used yesterday. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Philosophy and vain deceit, traditions of men. That's what's in a lot of these doctrines these false teachers are putting forth. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 11. Let me get there. Leviticus chapter 11. Thinking about that scripture, how much of philosophies have you unlearned, saints? Some of us have, some of us haven't. We're still holding on to quite a bit of these philosophies that we've been partakers of. Especially when you've been a babe in Christ, coming to some of these churches. I can tell you my own story in that. I'll get to it. You're a young babe, you get hungry for the word. These boogers are filling you up full of false doctrine. These vain traditions that you shouldn't be keeping. Sunday, Sabbath, Easter, and Christmas. Okay, Leviticus chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. Let me get there. Oh, yeah, we're talking about swine, eating swine. That's some of those traditions, pagan doctrines from these pagan churches a lot of us attended. Or the ways, even of our own fathers, because the word tells us not to learn not the way of the heathen. But, of course, a lot of us learn from our heathen families how to eat swine. Celebrate Christmas, celebrate birthdays, and you can whatever you can name that you did wrong, it came from one of them, either from a church or from your own family's way. All right. Okay. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. I want to talk about the swine here for a minute. But let's go to Acts chapter 10 first. In Christianity, the swine is divine. At every one of their major feasts, they have swine. And most of us has been church, we know, because we partook of it. We were baking crisps. We ate that swine along with the pork chop pie. Like Brother Rich says, amen or oh me. But you know I'm telling the truth. They sell them dinners at them churches. Or everybody run to the restaurant right after church. You know, everybody the church I used to go to, we used to go eat at what's that place called? The Golden Corral. It was a buffet type, kind of like Shoney's, I guess. All right, let's see. We're going to Acts chapter 10. Let me get there. Dealing with that vision that Peter had. We'll start at verse 10 through 21. We'll read some of them. Of course, saints, go back and read these chapters and these verses in context of the chapter, please. Verse 10. Yeah, okay. And it's talking about Peter when he's on he's on the fast. And he became okay. All right, let me start at verse 9 here. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, talking about Cornelius' men, unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, master, for I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, What Yah hath cleansed, that call not common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was sealed up again into heaven. Now, we just stopped there. You know, the Christian would say, see, we can eat all these abominations. Or anyone else who takes a lot of context. Now, while Peter doubted himself, what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him for Cornelius, and from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you have come? Well, anyway, saints, dealing with the vision that he had with the unclean animals on it, and then what the Spirit said to him about go down with them, doubt nothing, for I sent them. And of course, Peter had the revelation that he should not call any man common or unclean. So, but anyway, you know, you had that vision there about the unclean foods, and of course Peter came to, you know, Peter knows, hey, the law says you can't eat this stuff, so I can't eat it. But let's see. Oh yeah, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm still dealing with this too. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3-5. Now, I hope ain't none of you saints out there eating unclean food. Now that I think about it, why am I have to talk about this? Anyway, why do I have to put this in there? I'm going to say that. I hope none of you out there eating unclean food. I'm going to say that again, saints. But you should know the law. If you don't know the law, go back and read all of Leviticus chapter 11. Get that in your heart. Stop eating all them clams and oysters and lobster and shrimp. Especially people that live by the water. You know what I'm talking about. I used to live in Virginia Beach. My family used to eat a lot of shrimp and clams and oysters and all that stuff. Lobsters, I mean. I even worked in a place. What kind of place? It was a raw bar. Had to handle that nasty stuff. All right. First Timothy, if I can get there. Bible ain't cooperating. Use the computer here. Now, it's talking about forbidden to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which Yah hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of Yah is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And that's not talking about all the unclean meats either. Just wanted to throw that one in there. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 6. I may touch on 7 some too, but I want to focus on chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yah through Jesus Christ our Master. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yah as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Yah. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Of course, you know, we've been graced half the death in them churches. You're under grace. We're under grace. We can keep on sinning. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Yah forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield your servants to obey, yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to obey, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Let me stop there for a minute. Now, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey. Let's go back to verse 13, though. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now, did you know Sabbath breaking is unrighteousness, saints? No, not keeping the Sabbath is unrighteousness. I remember being in those in the Baptist church. I asked the preacher about the Sabbath day. Of course, you know, he told me, no, we don't keep the Sabbath day. We keep Sunday. It's the Lord's day. That's the day Jesus rose. You know, a lot of you have heard that lie. Now, some of you haven't, you know, that didn't go the religious route. Thank God that he didn't have you in none of those pagan churches. I can tell you, it's just a bunch of crap they put in your heart, put in your mind through their false doctrine. The only thing that saves you is the Holy Spirit. You hear his voice. You hear the Holy Spirit telling you to come out of her. Like he's having pastor thunder all the time. But I wonder how many ears are getting deaf and dull even to that, getting dull of hearing even of that warning or that call. But anyway, not keeping the Sabbath is unrighteousness. I want to bear down on that for just a minute because I remember I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'll just go there. I remember when I went to the preacher of that Baptist church I went to, and I'd asked him about the Sabbath day. I think I'd asked about the pre-tribulation rapture because I see things in the scriptures that just didn't line up, and I was like, man, this stuff don't make no sense. You know, of course, of all the Ten Commandments. You know, I'm like, well, okay, you don't want us to commit adultery, you don't want us to steal. You know, saying this in my head while I'm talking to the preacher. But yet we don't have to keep the Sabbath. But yet, you know, I didn't know that much of the Bible at the time, but I read enough to know, you know, I knew the Ten Commandments. I didn't know that much. And I read a lot in the Bible, and I even had a man that I knew some time ago, around that time too. He's a Seventh-day Adventist. And we'd have a conversation. We had a conversation about the Sabbath day too. And he gave me the scripture you know, he talked about how Jesus kept the Sabbath as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, he tried to appeal to my spirit using those scriptures and other scriptures too. But But that wicked form of doctrine that I had received at that time wouldn't let me acknowledge the truth. It was starting to blind my eyes. But thank God, His spirit wasn't resting in that while he was dealing with me at that time, while he was trying to bring me out of pagan churches. The Holy Spirit just kept saying to me, stop your sin. If you read in 1 John, wait a minute, over Genesis 17:1, he said to Abraham, walk before me and be ye perfect. And then Matthew 5:48, let me go there real quick. Let me just go there. Where you at? Matthew 5:48. Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I remember asking the preacher about that. And he said to me, I don't believe in sinless perfection. Because I was asking, well, what's Jesus talking about in that? We're not supposed to sin. Of course, I still had this Ten Commandment conversation in my head, too, and all the commandments and stuff. I'm like, we got all the laws, because I was reading a lot of the Old Testament. I started reading the Old Testament, here and there at that time, especially in the law. I didn't understand a whole lot of them, but I was still reading them, trying to understand. And the Holy Spirit kept telling me, you should stop your sinning. Be holy. Be perfect. And I'm like, man, what sin are you talking about? Not keeping the Sabbath. So going back to Romans 6, hold on. Neither you, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yourselves unto Yah as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Your whole body is part of your instrument, your members. And I was like, man, what am I supposed to, of course I'm asking the preacher, what are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? If I can't, the Holy Spirit told me to stop sin. I didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that time, but the Father was just dealing with me hard. And finally, after when I came out and I started keeping the Sabbath, that's when I started getting peace on it too. Not that I was perfect or anything, but the Father said, no, you obey me. Do what I, keep my word. Of course, I learned about the Sabbath from another minister at that time. And then I learned how to keep it more perfectly, fellowshiping with Pastor Dow and the saints here at Straightway when I was added to the body here. I've been blessed ever since. So I just like to emphasize that not keeping the Sabbath is unrighteousness. It's sin. I think even in the you look at some of these deliverance manuals, you even see that. I don't think they list some of the, if I'm not mistaken, I don't see Sabbath breaking listed as any of the curses in there, listed along with any of the curses they'll say. And some of these things, they'll talk about things that bring curses on you. I have to go back and double check it, but if I'm not mistaken, Sabbath breaking is not in there. But and it should be. We should be keeping the Sabbath. And not yielding our members of unrighteousness. Neither yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin in that area. I just want to emphasize that, saints, because it's not, the 7 days is part of Yahweh's feast. Let's go to 1 John 3 real quick. 1 John 3:4. I'm almost done here. And I'm not picking on the Baptists, by the way. Of course, if I got any Baptists out there listening, I ain't picking on y'all. That's where I came from. Came from the Baptist Church and the Church of God in Christ. And they were pork chop eating Christians too, bacon eating Christians as well. And they didn't keep the Sabbath day eat. They didn't honor y'all and keep the Sabbath day holy. So in reference to that, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So when you're breaking the Sabbath, you're transgressing the law. You sin it. And verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I mean, that's the easy work to destroy there. Just obey the Sabbath. Since I'm harping on the Sabbath at the moment, want that work destroyed, just obey. It takes Jesus for you to keep the Sabbath anyway. You have to rest in Him. And hold on, let me go there real quick. And don't forget 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And of course, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So, hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, real quick, saints. That was one of the ones I had written down. I forgot why I had that one there. Oh, yeah. For Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. You know, like Pastor taught us, don't let nobody judge me. That blew my mind when he said, don't let nobody judge me when I'm keeping the Sabbath or the feast days. When he said that some time ago, I was like, man, wow, that's a good thing. I used to stumble with that scripture every time I read it. I used to let it be for the enemy side because I didn't know how to answer when they stumbled at. Well, I'm not gonna let you judge me, you know, when I'm keeping these Sabbath of Yahweh or the feast days. And I got one last scripture here, saints. In the book of Sirach, chapter 15, verse 20. It says, you got that one, Brother Ugly? Sirach chapter 15, verse 20. Brother Ugly, I just read your comment in there. Kentucky Fried Christians, fried and bacon fat. That's a good one. All right, I'm going to read it. Sirach chapter 15, or Ecclesiastes chapter 15. Verse 20. He has commanded no man to do wickedly, neither hath he given any man license to sin. So you think on grace, saints. Just remember this. We don't have, Yah has not given us grace to sin. And he hasn't commanded any of us to do wickedly, you know, by breaking any of his commandments, by talebearing, slandering, lying, stealing, any of those things. And he hasn't given us a license to sin either. You know, because we do all these things, we reap what we sow. And the Most High is going to visit us. The evil is going to get visited. It's going to get judged because he don't clear the guilty. Well, anyway, that's all I got tonight, saints. Do bless you all. Thank you for listening tonight. Thank you, Brother Ugly, for all that you do. I like the news broadcast thing that you do. And thanks. Appreciate you all for being here. Again, keep the saints in prayers down in Florida. I think Brother, what's that brother's name? Brother Alden. There's some other saints down. I can't remember everybody that lives down there now at the moment, but keep them in prayer. Remember our beloved Elder Felix. Remember to keep lifting him up. Keep our Pastor Dowell in prayer, you know, because we got a lot of enemies, you know, waging war against our pastor, who hate him, you know, sending curses against him, against the work, against the ministry, you know, against all the pastors and all the elders and leadership. So, just, you know, we just need to keep the prayers going up before the Most High, saints. So I just bless you all. Thank you all for tuning in. And I just bid you all a good night, and we'll see you next time. Shalom.